Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 says, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." This is the word of God.
Okay, I got a couple of sayings I want you to finish, okay? So I'm gonna say the first part and you're gonna finish it, all right? "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Okay, good. This one, I don't know if you're gonna know this one. We'll see. Okay, "I'm rubber, you're glue, everything you say bounces off me and sticks to you," right? Well, that's not true. Right? None of those things are true. I really think that these are lies that good-intentioned moms make up to tell their little chubby sons who just got made fun of at the swimming pool again. I mean, or so I've heard, right? And so, but it certainly doesn't make you feel better, right? Because words, they deeply impact us, right? Hurtful words, they deeply hurt us. I mean, some of us, we've been shaped today by things that were said to us or about us as children, right? Like words, they affect us. They impact us deeply. This is why encouraging words can also encourage us deeply. This is why comforting words can comfort us deeply. It's why so quickly and succinctly words of truth can cut through the murkiness and the muddiness of lies, right? Like light piercing through darkness, words have impact. They are, they're powerful. God uses words, and he uses them often, and he uses powerful words. I mean, he spoke creation into existence. God spoke creation into existence. God's words, they breathe life itself. And so just the fact that we even speak at all, that we have these thoughts that somehow turn into these words, that somehow turn into these conversations with one another, I mean, this shows us that God has made us. And this shows us that we have actually been made in God's likeness. There's been studies that say that we speak like 700 times a day. That's not words. That's using words to speak 700 times a day. I mean, what else do you do 700 times a day? Like blink? Breathe? Right? This is amazing. And so what this tells me is that we have 700 times per day that we have the opportunity to either be like God and use our words to do things that encourage others and develop trust and create relationships and build community, or that's 700 times a day that we have the opportunity to lie about God. To lie about God and to use our words to discourage others, to destroy trust, to break relationships, to divide community, right? So 700 some odd times per day that we have the opportunity to either tell the truth about God or to lie about him with our words, or even lie about him with our silence, in which now we're communicating to the world around us that he is of such little significance to us that he's not even worth telling you about. And so our sinful bent is that. Our sinful bent is not to tell the truth about God, rather to lie about him. But we're going to see that in God's word today that the Holy Spirit empowers us to proclaim the message of God in everything that we say to everybody around us. And so last week in chapter 1 of Acts, Jesus promises that he's going to pour out his Holy Spirit. He's going to send the Holy Spirit to us so that we can be clothed in power as his witnesses. And then today we're going to see him keep this promise. We're going to see that the Spirit empowers us by giving us a new tongue, giving us new ears, giving us a new mind, giving us a new heart. It's all going to help us proclaim the message of Christ in everything that we say to everybody that God puts us around. This is what we're going to see today. And so we're going to begin in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Look now with me at verse 1. Luke says, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place." Now, first of all, what's Pentecost? Okay, so Pentecost is this Jewish celebration of harvest. It comes 50 days, so Penta, 50 days after the Passover, which is another celebration when God, you know, freed Israel from the Egyptians. And so here, you know, Luke's writing this, what actually happened too was that Jesus was crucified on the Passover. A few days later, he raises from the dead. 50 days later, Pentecost, right, the celebrating of the harvest. And so that's what's going on right now. And then notice that they're all together. They're all together. This is what happens often in the church, because the good news of Jesus, it brings us all into the same family. And so the church is hanging around together often. We see this a lot as the church is hanging out together. And then verse 2, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. We're talking about the Spirit-empowered message today, right? So Spirit-empowered speaking. And so we're talking about the sound that comes out of our mouths when our breath hits our vocal cords and then it leaves, right? We're talking about wind here, right? It's a mighty rushing wind. And this word that he uses for wind here, it's used elsewhere in Scripture, actually means breath of life. And so now the very appearance of the Holy Spirit is accompanied with the sound of might. The very appearance of the Holy Spirit, it's accompanied with the sound of a heavenly presence as Jesus, who has ascended into heaven, who now resides in heaven, sends his Holy Spirit down to us. Continuing verse 2, and the sound like a mighty rushing wind filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so there's a chance now that maybe some of you are starting to think, oh no, is he going to talk about that weird speaking in tongues thing? Some of you are excited, right? Some of you are jacked up. Let's do this. You got your tambourines ready. Some of you, though, you're kind of weirded out by this, okay? You're weirded out a little bit by this because maybe you've seen churches abuse this, or pastors take this kind of out of context, and you're saying, okay, is he going to do this? Is this going to get weird? Maybe that's you. My desire is just to simply look at what God's word is saying, and I think that it's actually helpful for us to acknowledge there's some bizarre things going on here. There just is, right? So these men and women, they're sitting around in this room. They're probably reading. They're probably praying together, and then out of nowhere comes this like tornado. Right? Have you ever been in or seen a tornado? They're powerful. They're scary, right? Like tornadoes, they like pierce tree trunks with like little tiny pieces of straw, right? These great gusts of wind, they actually pick like cows up and then put them over here like 2 miles away. This is what we're talking about, except that this mighty rushing wind, it's like a tornado. This isn't happening outside where tornadoes belong. This tornado has come through the ceiling and now it's swirling about in the room, right? And you know what we don't see? No one is freaking out about this. Then flames of fire start appearing above each individual person's head, right? And no one is like, hey, Matthias, new guy, your hair's on fire. Your hair's on fire, right? No one is doing this. No one's freaking out. And then if this weren't wild enough, everyone starts speaking loudly all at the same time, and they're all speaking in this new language they didn't know like 30 seconds ago. And nobody is raising their hand going, guys, this is weird. They're not doing that. So there's so many things that are going on here, so many reasons that we could get kind of weirded out. We could kind of shut down or check out. But I want us to hang in there with God's word, because this is what he's chosen to tell us through his word. And we can trust what he is telling us in his word because we can trust him. And he tells us that we can put our hope in him. We can put all of our hope in him, and he's not going to put us to shame. So we can trust what he's saying. It also means that we can wholeheartedly embrace the fact that when he pours his spirit into us, those of us that believe in Jesus, when he pours his spirit into us, just like he's pouring his spirit into these men and women that are in this room, we can also now trust him with the fact that he's giving us this new tongue, right? He's giving us this renewed tongue, and he's equipping us with this particular kind of spirit-empowered ability to now proclaim the message of Christ in everything that we say to everyone that he puts us around. We can trust him with that. I mean, look at verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues. This is a cause and effect, right? Luke is writing this in a way that he wants us to know that as soon as the Spirit filled these men and women, they could not help but speak of the mighty works of God. This is just what happens. The Spirit fills us, and we start speaking of God's greatness. And so now for us, what that means is that we have this new tongue, and so now these 700 different times that we speak every day, these are now opportunities to proclaim the greatness of who God is, proclaim the greatness of who Jesus is. And so maybe you're thinking, I really find it hard to believe that I have 700 opportunities every day to like tell somebody about Jesus. Okay, well, half that, 350. Is that still too much? Half that, right? 175. Half that, 90. Half that, 45. Half it, one more time, 20. 20 times a day that maybe you have an opportunity to tell people about Jesus, that is still a lot of opportunities to herald the good news of Jesus. This is the tongue that the Lord has given us to tell of his greatness. The question is, do you? Do you? Even once a day, a couple times a day, do you herald his greatness. It's amazing what God can do when we just tell others about him. It's incredible. This is what Luke wants us to know. And so now he gives us this kind of cut to camera two kind of view. So we're focusing on the men and women in the room. Now he kind of comes over here and he wants us to see, well, what's going on with the men and women that are outside of the room, right? He wants us to see there's a lot more going on here as the Spirit's working, as God's orchestrating this spiritual revival, as he's preparing them to hear the message of Christ with these new ears. So beginning in verse 5, Luke now says, they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in our own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others, mocking, said, they are filled with new wine. I think we often forget this. I think we often forget that, yes, the Spirit is working in and through those that are speaking this message, but the Spirit is also starting to work in those who are going to hear this message. He's preparing them to hear this message as well. I mean, just think about how amazing the timing of all of this is, right? Like, we're actually getting to see the Great Commission starting to play out, right? So back in Luke 24, Luke records where Jesus says, hey, you are my witnesses. You are my witnesses, right? In Acts 1, he says, you're going to be my witnesses. Then in Matthew 28, he records the Great Commission, which is go make disciples. Go make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And now Jesus' disciples are being empowered by the Holy Spirit to proclaim this message of Christ to all nations. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says that every nation under heaven was represented here. This is the thing that the Lord is orchestrating, right? And so I know that when I forget about this, when I forget about how big God is, when I forget about how big this story is, that it's really easy for me to feel like somehow everything starts and stops with me, right? I feel like the weight of all of this is on me, and so it can become overwhelming. It can become scary even to the point where maybe it paralyzes me, where now I don't do anything with this good news that Jesus has given me. But man, when we see what the Holy Spirit is doing in and through us and in and through those that are here, that are going to hear this message, man, that's freeing to us. It's freeing to us to know that only the Spirit can prepare them. Only the Spirit can give them ears, right? Only the Spirit can give them ears to actually hear this message of God's mighty works in a way that they can receive it, in a way that changes them. And so we see the Spirit working in those listening because even they acknowledge that there's something extraordinary going on. Even they recognize there's something incredible going on here. It says in verse 7, they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? Okay, so what's so astonishing about this? Well, Galileans in this day, they're seen as these kind of uneducated backwood country bumpkins. Okay, but now these uneducated backwood country bumpkins, all of a sudden they're able to speak the languages of all of these nations like perfectly, flawlessly. So this is amazing to them, right? So that would be like for us, think of like Mandarin, okay? I've heard that Mandarin's like the hardest language to learn, okay? So then now picture Uncle Cy from Duck Dynasty. Picture Honey Boo Boo. Matthew McConaughey, okay? So imagine them surrounded by thousands of Chinese men and women and all of a sudden, miraculously, being able to communicate with them in flawless standard Mandarin. For all I know, Honey Boo Boo knows many languages flawlessly, but still, like, even if she started speaking in standard Mandarin, I'd be like, that would like blow my mind, right? And so this is amazing. This is astonishing. And so they know something extraordinary is taking place. They know that this is God at work. Look at verse 11. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. How do they know this? Because the Spirit is giving them these new ears. And we also need to pay attention to the different ways that They're responding to this now. Okay, so they've recognized these are the mighty works of God. Now, how are they responding? We see a couple of different ways, and it's important for us to see this because all of us in here, whether you say you're a Christian or you're not, we're going to respond in kind of one of these two different ways to God's work, to God's message. And it says that some are in awe, and they ask, well, what does this mean? But it says that others mock. So I don't know if you've ever been mocked for your faith. Several years ago, I worked with a guy who he very loudly, very meanly, told me I was an idiot for being a Christian. I worked with a guy a few years later who he basically said the same thing, except the way that he worded it was that he was too intelligent to believe in God, right? So the way that people rationalize mocking, it's like nutty, right? It just doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Like even here, you know, these people are essentially saying James is speaking perfect Cretan. He must be drunk. Right? Does it make sense? I wish I had some of that wine back in college. I might have done better at Spanish 3. But there's also something that's really, really amazing. Even though there's going to be scoffing when we share Jesus with others, there's also something really, really amazing that happens when you realize, wow, the Spirit's giving me these words and the Spirit's giving them ears to hear this, right? It's a really amazing kind of place to be. Faith and I led the Brazil mission trip a couple months ago. And so we head down there and pretty immediately we're like, how's this going to work? Like we're supposed to do this vacation Bible school with dozens and dozens of kids in the area. And we're like, we don't speak Portuguese and they don't speak English. How is this going to work? We only have a handful of translators, but you know what we did? We went down there and we sang with them and we prayed and we taught them from the Bible and we played with them. We gave them lots of hugs and then we sent them home. And the next day they came back and we sang and we prayed and we taught them from the Bible and we played with them and we gave them lots of hugs and then we sent them back home. The next day we did it again. The next day we did it again. And guys, it was incredible. By the end of the week, seeing these kids come in and start drawing pictures of the empty tomb. And they're drawing pictures of Jesus, you know, spanning the gap that our sin has created between us and the Father. Right? This is what happens when the Spirit gives us the words and the Spirit gives them the ears. The message, it transcends these things, right? So this past Thursday, 30 plus of us gathered at my home and we spent a night of prayer for the Paradox River East Church that we're going to plant in January. We were asking God for these very things. Lord Jesus, give us opportunities to tell the people in this area about who you are and how great you are and how much you love them. And please, Lord, give them ears to hear. Save them with this message. Like that's how the Lord's going to plant his church. That's how the Lord grows his church. And so we're asking for these things. And so when we see that the Spirit gives new tongues to proclaim the message and new ears to receive the message, we're reminded, wow, this message of Jesus, it's a universal message, right? Because he's the king of the universe. And it's thrilling to realize that, wow, we are a part of this and a part of him using his word to woo everyone to himself. Even the fact that you are here today is evidence that God is wooing you to himself. You're hearing his word proclaimed because he is wooing you to himself. And you can trust the Spirit with these new ears that he's giving you. And you can know that the Spirit is also going to give you this new mind to understand what this means. He's going to give you this new way of thinking about everything. So when we get to verse 14 and it says, but Peter, we can start seeing this happen. Verse 14 says, but Peter, Luke told us in his first letter that not too long ago, like 6-7 weeks ago maybe, that Peter was so afraid of this little servant girl that he denies even knowing Jesus 3 different times. He denies knowing Jesus 3 different times. Right before that, Peter is telling Jesus to his face, I will die for you. And now Luke is saying, but then because of his fear, he's now denying that he even knows Jesus. And the way Luke records it, it's crazy because when he denies Jesus, it says that Jesus looks at him. Like Jesus is within earshot. Like to his face, Peter's denying that he even knows Jesus 3 different times. And so this verse 14, this is a big moment, right? But Peter, what's Peter going to do? Is he going to run from the scoffers? Or is he going to stand on the rock of Jesus Christ and proclaim this kingdom message to them? Right? So in this moment, think about that. What are you going to do? Are you going to run from the scoffers? Or are you going to stand on the rock of Jesus Christ and proclaim the message of his kingdom? So we continue reading. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and he addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. So now, empowered by the Spirit, not only does Peter tell everyone about this good Jesus, he's about to tell everyone about how this good Jesus is, right? Not only is that, but he addresses the mockers first. He actually addresses them first, right? And I kind of like to imagine he's being a bit cheeky here, like kind of like drunk. It's only 9 a.m. Right? The good stuff doesn't come out till 10:30. Like that's kind of like, it's kind of this feeling that we get when he says this. But the point here is that there's this incredible mind shift that's happened with Peter. Peter, he's had this knowledge of Jesus for years. He's been a close friend of Jesus for years, and yet there's some kind of disconnect about the knowledge that Peter had that led to things like arguing with the other disciples about which one of them was the greatest. Right? This disconnect in the way that he was thinking that led to him even arguing with Jesus about the will of God. Right? This disconnect in his knowledge that led to him denying that he even knows Jesus to his face 3 different times. This is how understanding works, right? Understanding is a funny thing. A couple years ago, I was reading the Bible and I started praying. I was, started talking to the Lord. Lord, I know that I need to get in better shape. I need to lose weight. I need to start eating better. I know this. God, it would be so much easier if I was allergic to donuts and ice cream. It'd be so much easier if I was just allergic to donuts and ice cream. Well, last August, I found out I'm gluten and dairy intolerant. I'm actually officially allergic to donuts and ice cream. And so my wife was like, babe, you don't pray stuff like that. Like, what are you thinking? Right? You don't pray stuff like that. But the incredible thing here is that it was amazing how overnight these things that I used to enjoy so much, like, it's so much easier for me to say no to them now because I know if I eat this now, I'm going to be hating life in like 45 minutes, right? Like there was just this mind shift, this new understanding that led to this kind of the way that I would even think about these things. I didn't see these things the same anymore. I didn't understand these things anymore. So the Holy Spirit has given Peter this new mind. The knowledge that Peter has of Jesus has now become this embrace of Jesus. The knowledge he has of Jesus has now become this embrace of the mission of Christ's kingdom, right? And so it has changed completely, a supernatural mind shift of how he understands who Jesus is. Jesus is king, right? It's this mind shift of his understanding of who he is, servant to the king, a mind shift of the understanding of this mission, right? It's to tell everybody about the king. This is this mind shift that is taking place. Peter, who was afraid of this little girl and denied even knowing Jesus, now he addresses the mockers first and then starts telling them all about Jesus in one of the greatest sermons that has ever been preached. And so rather than, reading a little bit of the sermon and then talking about it a little bit and then reading a little bit more of the sermon and then discussing it a little more, what I want to do is I want us to read this sermon in its entirety. All right? And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would move our hearts with the truth of this message in the same way that you used it to move the hearts of these men and women on the day you were poured out on them from heaven. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so Peter, now empowered by the Holy Spirit, he stands up and he addresses them with this message beginning at verse 16. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me. He's at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad, my tongue rejoiced, my flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up. And of that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This, Peter says, is what you have just witnessed. Jesus is God in flesh. Jesus is God among us, right? Jesus has lived this perfect life that you could never hope to live because of your sin. Right, God in his intelligence, God in his intense love for you knew this was the only way to be with him again. And so he sent his only beloved son to the cross. He sent his only beloved son to the cross. Now he has lived the life that you could never live so he could die the death that you deserve, that your sin deserves, so that he would be the one crushed by your sin and you could avoid being crushed by your sin. This is the Jesus that we're talking about, but this Jesus that we're talking about who died on the cross, man, none of this would mean anything if his body was still lifeless in that tomb. But it's not, because he's greater than your sin, and he's greater than the death your sin deserves. Death could not hold this Jesus of Nazareth. And so in the courtyard, before the questioning little servant girl, Peter lied about Jesus. He said, I don't know this man. But here he stands before the masses and being empowered by the Holy Spirit, he boldly, unashamedly cries out to them, I do know this Jesus. This Jesus is Christ. This Jesus is Lord. He is God who rules and reigns in heaven, who has now poured his Spirit upon us and who is now wooing you to himself through his word. This is who that Jesus is. And then in verse 37, we get to see the Spirit do what the Spirit does, and he gives the listeners new hearts. Verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And can you hear in this question the work of the Holy Spirit? The Spirit's giving them this new heart, right? Their affections are changing. Their desires are changing. And now they humbly want to know, what does this mean? And what are we to do with it? And so then Peter says to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. He says, turn to Jesus. Leave everything behind and turn to Jesus. Surrender everything to your King. Give every part of your life to him, and he will not only serve you, he will dwell with you. He will not only save you, he will dwell with you. He will pour out his very Spirit into your new living heart that beats alone for him. And so this, Peter says, is the promise for all whom God calls to himself. And then in verse 40, with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. And then look what happens. Look what happens as Christ continues to do his work, empowered by his Spirit through his church, proclaiming his message. Verse 41, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls, 3,000 men and women saved by this sharing of the message of God. 3,000 new believers who are now filled with the Holy Spirit themselves, empowered to start proclaiming the good news of Jesus themselves to everyone around them, right? This is how Christ multiplies his church. This is how Christ uses us to saturate the world with his glory and his grace, and 3,000 people being saved. That's incredible. But what I don't want us to miss is the fact that any soul being added to the kingdom of heaven is an incredible thing. Any soul being brought from death into life, added to the kingdom of heaven, this is an incredible thing. And I would imagine that many of us in here who love Jesus would say that our story is more kind of like a friend who just, he kept telling us about Jesus. Or another gospel-centered conversation with another cup of coffee, right? Or in someone's living room again, reading the Bible again. Or maybe a typical Sunday morning where the word of God is being preached. Again, this is more like my story, and this is incredible. Incredible that the Lord would save us, that he would bring us into his kingdom this way, but then that he would empower us to be able to share his message to bring other people into this kingdom this way. The day of Pentecost, right? The day that Jesus poured his spirit into us, right? This not only means that we can know God truly, but this means if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that you are to make him known to others faithfully. There are no observers in this. There's no observers. He has empowered us with his spirit to tell the whole world of his glory. And so this morning, ask him, Jesus, who would you have me tell them about your glory? Who is that? Think about that for a second. Jesus, who would you have me tell them about your glory? I want you to think about that. Take note of that. Write that down. Jesus, who would you have me to tell about your glory? Who's that coworker? Who's that neighbor? Who's that friend? Who's that family member that doesn't know you? Who would you have me tell about your glory?